Happy Tuesday, Chattanooga. Hope you're having a great day. Wonderful weather. Get out if you can today. Nice, cool spring day for sure here in Chattanooga, Tennessee, and all around the Tennessee Valley. I am Brooks Carter, host of the show. This is the Local Zone here on ESPN 105.1 The Zone. You can listen online at ESPNChattanooga.com. Listen on the TuneIn Radio app as well. Just search ESPN 105.1 The Zone. And if you're hanging out around the house or around the office, you can use that Alexa smart home device and listen with our ESPN Chattanooga skill. You can find the show on Twitter and interact with us there at LocalZone 105.1. You can interact with me as well, my personal accounts at Brooks A. Carter. And on the phone lines, 423-648-1051, if you'd like to chime in throughout the course of the show here today. About 2 minutes past the top of the hour, and we've got some fun stuff to get into, as we typically do. Lots and lots of region softball and baseball action taking place yesterday as the start of the region tournament week got underway on Monday. And most, if not all, of the teams that have advanced here locally to the region tournament were in action yesterday. Just a couple of ones weren't, who up at the D2 level, the private school level, that received byes. But other than that, everybody else was in action. We'll talk about that all coming up here in the first segment, and as I will break it down and give you every single game score in detail of everything that happened yesterday and what to look forward to coming up for the teams that did advance, and kind of put a bow on it for the teams that did not advance and whose seasons have concluded. Also, coming up a little later in the show, we've got soccer action at the high school level taking place. We will talk about that coming up around 2:30. Region soccer tournaments in TSSAA. We've also got your three teams down in Whitfield County, the Dalton, Georgia area, that are still alive in the Final Four. Dalton, the Dalton Catamounts, the Cahola Creek Colts, and the Southeast Whitfield Raiders, all still alive in their respective classifications with a chance, if they can win today, all three would advance to the state championship, which is just absolutely incredible, all out of the same area. And then coming up next segment, going to talk about something I find fairly interesting. Fox announced yesterday that their top college game every Saturday is going to be moving to noon, the noon time slot for this upcoming college football season. I thought that was very interesting, and I want to take a look at it from kind of the ratings breakdown of it and talk about why perhaps they chose to do that. So we will do that all coming up today. So that's what's coming up on the show. With that in mind, let's go ahead and get into it. Here's today's three big things.
What's making the local and regional sports headlines? Find out now.
So let's begin with some softball action here at the region softball tournament level. Now we're beginning with single A, going to work all the way through, all the way up to Division II. Sail Creek, your District 4 single A champion, was winner. They were winners yesterday, 12-2 over Coalfield. With the win, they will play Teleco Plains in their region final tomorrow. Whitwell was also a winner. They were 11-1 winners over Gordonsville. They will play Trousdale County in their region final tomorrow. Also locally in action was South Pitt. They lost to Trousdale County with their season coming to an end in that region semifinal game. So that's what happens in single A. Sail Creek winners, Whitwell winners, both advancing on to their region finals. Now keep in mind, all of these teams that advance to the region finals, they will all be in the public school leagues, will all be playing again on Wednesday. And with a win for any of the ones that do advance, baseball or softball, they would be putting themselves into the state sectionals. Going to double A now, the District 6-2A champion Red Bank lost 12-2 to Sweetwater in their region semifinal matchup. Signal Mountain, the Lady Eagles lost by the exact same score, in fact, to Sequoia. So both of our local teams in district out of District 6-2A are done for the year with those two losses. Red Bank 12-2 once again to Sweetwater. Signal Mountain 12-2 to Sequoia. Also in AA, the District 7-2A champion Sequatchie County beat DeKalb County 4-3 to advance to the region final. And Marion County, out of the same district, the runner-up, beat Livingston. So we'll get a rematch there from last week's district championship. Obviously, a little bit more at stake here as you continue to advance and survive and advance further and deeper into the tournament, approaching the state tournaments. Up at the AAA level, the District 5-3A champion and last year's Class 3A state runner-up. So all the way to the state championship game they made it last year. This was Walker Valley. They saw their season come to an end. 4-0 to Warren County. So a bit surprising to me, to say the least, considering how well this team did last year and how deep of a run they made in the state tournament. Came back, won their district tournament this year, and to get beat out in the first round of the region tournament. A little surprising for me for the Lady Mustangs, but nonetheless, a great year for them, a great two-year run for the Lady Mustangs, but they are 4-0 losers to Warren County, ending their year. The 5-3A runner-up, though, Ottawa, the two seed out of that district, they went up on the road to Cookeville and won 5-3 yesterday. So the Lady Owls advance on and will play Warren County, and they look to keep their season alive coming up on Wednesday. Up at the Division II level, let's look at the single-A portion of Division II. Chattanooga Christian took down Fayette Academy in the first round of the region tournament, 10-0. CCS advances on to play Good Pasture. That game will be coming up Thursday at 2 p.m. in the second round. Silverdale, though, they saw their season come to an end with a 10-0 loss to Friendship Academy. Those were the only two teams that were in the region tournament locally out of this area in D2 single A. So once again, CCS 10-0 winners over Fayette Academy, advancing on to play Good Pasture on Thursday. Silverdale Academy 10-0 losers to Friendship Academy, ending their season. Up in D2 AA, this includes Baylor and GPS. Both teams being some of the top teams out of their area, out of their region, received first-round byes in the tournament. For GPS, they are back in action this afternoon. They play at home versus Lipscomb Academy. That first pitch will be getting going in about 50 minutes here at 3 p.m. So the Bruisers of GPS will look to continue their great season and move on to what would be the third round of the region tournament. As I mentioned, they got a bye past the first round. Baylor, as I said, also had that first round bye. They play St. Cecilia coming up later this week on Friday. So we will definitely keep you updated on that. Let's look at the region baseball action now. Going in the same order we did for softball, single A, District 4A champion Lookout Valley saw their great season come to an end yesterday, losing 4-1 to Harriman. So congrats on a great season to the Lookout Valley Yellow Jackets. Definitely, I'm sure we're hoping to go a little further than that, as they've got a pretty good and pretty proud baseball tradition over there. Also in single A, the District 5-1A champ South Pitt fell to Monterey 11-2, and the runner-up out of the same district, Whitwell, loses as well 11-1 to Gordonsville. In double A now, quite a few local teams in action in the region tourneys at the double A level. District 6-2A champion Signal Mountain, if you'll remember, we just had their head coach on the show last week. They took down Meigs County 7-2 to advance to their region final. The runner-up, Hixson, wasn't quite as lucky. They failed to survive in advance, losing 3-1 to Loudoun. In a pretty damn good year for Hixson, though. I know Jack Julian's dad called me a few weeks back, just minutes before one of our shows started here, and was telling me how much he appreciated the coverage of Hixson high school baseball this year, because as an athletics, just from an athletics program as a whole, all teams that they have, whether it be football, basketball, whatever, as a whole, they've kind of struggled in the last few years, and this was really a bright spot for them to be able to be so successful in baseball this year. And so congrats to them on a great year to be able to be that diamond in the rough there. I know they had a lot of support from the local area there in Hixson. So congrats on a great season. But once again, they fall 3-1 to Loudoun. Also in Double A, though, the 7-2A district champion Sequatchie County takes down Cannon County 4-3 to keep their season going. They will be playing Grundy County in a rematch of last week's district championship. Grundy beat Smith County. They were the runner-up out of the same district. 6-2, they beat Smith County. So both of them will be playing each other in the region final coming up on Wednesday. Let's look up in AAA now. Both the 5-3A teams advanced to the region final. Soddy Daisy, the district 5-3A tournament champion, takes down Warren County 5-4, and Bradley defeats Cookeville 6-1. Soddy just beat Bradley last week in the district tournament championship series. The tournament was hosted by Soddy Daisy, and since they won it, they will be back at home once again. Kind of a little deja vu in a championship setting. District championship last week against Bradley. Region title championship this week. The winner advances to the state sectionals. Up in Division II, looking at the single A, did not mention this on yesterday's show, but CCS fell in the first round of the D2 single A region tournament, losing 5-1 to CPA. That was the only team in action locally in the D2 single A bracket. Up in D2 double A, though, Baylor, we know how good they are at baseball. One of the best teams to come through this area ever in baseball. But they received a first round bye in the D2 double A region tournament. They'll match up with Memphis University School MUS on Thursday at home. This past Friday, McCauley beat Lipscomb Academy 2-0, and they advanced onto the second round. They will be playing Father Ryan on the road coming up this Friday. So, a lot of teams I just threw at you, a lot of scores, a lot of action there, but that's the name of the game this time of the year, and that's what makes it so fun. So we've got quite a few teams coming up that will be back in action tomorrow with region tournaments finals on the line. We will definitely keep you updated on all of those, and definitely are going to hopefully try and get some other coaches on for the ones that wind up advancing and winning their region tournaments to as they advance on to the state sectionals and so forth. An exciting time this time of year, spring fling quickly approaching here, and the TSSAA that includes all your other spring sports like track and field, tennis, all those other spring sports that maybe don't get quite the attention and glory that your kind of big three of what I would call from the spring sports, baseball, softball, and soccer get. And we will definitely give those attention, rightfully so, as the spring filling approaches here. So, and also, just to throw this out there, those are what some of those sports, tennis, track and field, all that kind of stuff. It can be hard to find out information about those the way that it can be. Or it's much easier if you just scour the internet the way that you've probably done from time to time. It's a lot easier to find information on these baseball, softball, and soccer teams than it is at times to find stuff on the tennis and the track and field stuff of the high school sports world. Absolutely hit us up on our Twitter account at LocalZone1051. If you think there's something worth talking about from some of those other spring sports that include some local athletes, always here for that, and recommendations and stats of any sort of that thing that's going on in some of those other sports that maybe we haven't talked about on the show quite as much. All right, that's going to be it for the items on your local and regional sports headlines. Quite a few baseball and softball region action, as you just heard there. When we come back, going to jump into that topic I teased back at the beginning of the show. This was surrounding the decision from Fox to move their marquee weekly college football game each Saturday to the noon Eastern time slot. Kind of give you my thoughts on it and what I believe is the motivation behind why they did this, and how this kind of may affect the viewership and the on-campus kind of side of things for those who go and watch these games in person now. We'll talk about that coming up next. This is the Local Zone, ESPN 105.1 The Zone, ESPNChattanooga.com. All right, welcome back into the Local Zone here on ESPN 105.1 The Zone, coming up on 2:22 here in Chattanooga, Tennessee. All right, Chattanooga. Mother's Day was this past weekend. If you forgot about one of the mothers in your life on this Mother's Day, then you're probably in the doghouse. But don't worry, fellas. ESPN 105.1 The Zone has you covered. If you'll go on our website, ESPNChattanooga.com, and click at the bottom of the homepage, you can fill out a registration form there. And you could win a $50 gift card to Alea and Body Balance Massage and Wellness Center. This is a gift certificate redeemable for a one-hour massage and foot scrub. The winner will be announced live on air during press row from 3 to 6 this Friday, May 17th, following the 5 p.m. Sports Center update. Once again, that is a $50 gift card to Alea and Body Balance Massage and Wellness Center. Gift certificate is redeemable for a one-hour massage and foot scrub. Hopefully you didn't forget about your mothers, but if you did, here's an opportunity to get her back here and satisfy the motherly needs that you did not satisfy over the weekend. And you can go to our website once again and click the bottom of the homepage and fill out the registration there. The website, ESPNChattanooga.com. So, talked about this before the break and saw where this kind of rolled through the newswire yesterday. And from a person who works, has worked in both TV and radio, the programming side of things, and having seen how this kind of stuff works, you know, monitoring ratings and all that kind of stuff, this really stuck out to me when I saw this. Fox announced that that its best college football game each week is going to air at noon. And I get why, I can understand the reasons why they may have chosen to do this. They now will have a big, top-notch college football game every single week, whether it be with the Big Ten or Big 12, because you know you can't do that with the Pac-12. With it being on the West Coast, that's just, that'd be like when you're a little kid, Saturday morning, waking up and playing at 9 a.m. But anyways, this is going to air at noon Eastern time. And I get their motivation behind why they're doing it. It's so that their big game doesn't have to go head-to-head each week with ESPN and ABC's big games. Because you think about your primetime 8 p.m. kick on ABC, and I believe it's around 7 or 7:30, the primetime kick on ESPN. Those are typically two games that, especially the ABC one, that are probably going to be better than than the one that Fox is trotting out there. Perhaps both of them better than what Fox is trotting out there. You may have a marquee game on ABC that includes the likes of, you know, Clemson. And then you may have an Alabama versus whoever, the second biggest SEC game of the week, because we know CBS gets dibs on the biggest SEC game. So, you know, if you get a, you know, LSU-Texas A&M in primetime on ESPN, and then you got Clemson or, you know, whoever else, another good marquee game on ABC, Fox may be third or fourth down on your clicker for what's in your rotation of games at that time. So I understand the reasoning behind and the motivation behind why Fox has chosen to do this. And with that in mind, though, the fan in me hates this. This sucks for Big Ten and Big 12 fans, especially Big 12, because everything outside of West Virginia, which is not really in Big 12 country, but they're just happen to be in their conference. Every school besides West Virginia in the Big 12 is on the Central Time Zone. So that means if this is a noon Eastern kick, that means that it's an 11 a.m. Central Time kick on all of these campuses if they're involved in one of these big marquee games. And this is going to include the likes of your Oklahoma and your Texas frequently. Now, they already know, like Oklahoma and Texas already have that 11 a.m. kickoff with the Red River Shootout every year down at the Cotton Bowl in Dallas. That's something they've become accustomed to. But, you know, their conference has that's their big money television network. The Big Ten Network is through Fox. And for the Big 12, they will occasionally play on the Disney family of networks, whether it be ABC or ESPN. But more times than not, the Big 12 is going to be on Fox nowadays. So you just think about that as a fan. You know, I think back to my time in college. Tuscaloosa, Alabama is on the Central Time Zone. And boy, oh boy, those games were dreadful as a fan waking up. You know, it really kind of ruins the tailgating and the real fun Saturday tradition aspect of it, of tailgating all day, watching some other games. You know, watching, to me, the 7 p.m. kickoff is the best. You get to watch two rounds of games. You get to watch your noon kick and your 3:30 kick, which is 11 a.m. and 2:30 in Central Time. You get to watch both rounds of those first two time slots while hanging out, tailgating, eating some food, drinking some drinking some beer, and then you go in the stadium and you're all rowdy and ready to go. That's the best way that it works. And if we're talking about Ohio State and Michigan and Texas and Oklahoma, these schools, the marquee ones in their in those two conferences, that are more times than not going to be the ones involved in these top matchups week to week for Fox. If you're talking 3, 4, 5 times a year that you might be included in one of those matchups potentially as a program that's a top 10, top 15 program, God, that sucks. That just does. There's no way around it. As a fan, that sucks. Because not only, it ruins the on campus part of it, I think, but it also means that you got to be up and ready and at them to watch it live in person on your TV, or in person or on your TV. And I think, I don't know how long they plan to do this. They've just announced it, from what I've seen, for the 2019 season. I will be interested to see how long this actually lasts, because I don't know if it'll work. I don't see it working long term. Now, if it comes out because they're trotting out Ohio State versus Wisconsin and Oklahoma versus pardon me, Oklahoma versus, whoever, Kansas State, Texas Tech, if they're trotting out these big name brand programs week to week and they're getting large audiences from it and they begin to really kick ESPN's butt and ABC's butt in that noon kickoff, maybe. But I don't really see it having too much of an impact on the ratings. In terms of it benefiting them so greatly that it pulls viewers away from ESPN, like a substantial amount of viewers away from ESPN. Because as I mentioned at the start of the segment, I get why Fox is doing it, but I don't know if it actually is going to make that significant of a difference at the end of the day. Will be interesting to see, though. Because to me, sometimes the time slot matters more than the teams playing in it. I'm going to be more likely at times to watch perhaps a game of lesser value at 3:30 than I am one at noon. I'm more likely to watch a game start to finish, one that starts at 3:30 that involves no teams, that involves teams that I have zero allegiance to, than I am watching one start to finish that starts at noon. Because I may be, you know, sleeping in on a Saturday, getting up, going to the gym, running some errands, and by the time I finally sit down and plop my rear end on the couch on Saturday to watch football for the rest of the day, it might be 1:30 or 2 o'clock. And I think that's something that maybe they have to keep in mind moving it. There's several different aspects here that I think this is eventually going to hurt Fox, and I don't think it's going to work in the end. When I saw that, I had several different issues with why they're doing it, but at the end of the day, we're here in SEC country, and for most of the people in this area, they're not fans of a Big Ten or a Big 12 team. We may have some sprinkled in here in Chattanooga, but for the most part, we've got Tennessee, Georgia, Alabama, and maybe a few other fan bases here as well. But locally, this won't have too much of an impact, I would assume, to our listeners. But I just thought it was interesting conversation because I just don't see it working. All right, when we come back, going to look at some more high school sports action going on. We talked about baseball and softball, everything that happened yesterday, and the teams that it will be advancing on to play tomorrow in the region finals for the TSSAA and softball and baseball. Let's take a look at some of the soccer action in the region tournaments in the TSSAA, and three teams in the Final Four down in North Georgia here in our coverage area. We'll talk about that coming up next. This is the Local Zone on ESPN 105.1 The Zone. Welcome back into the Local Zone here on ESPN 105.1 The Zone. We'll jump into some of those high school soccer games here in just a few minutes. It was kind of an interesting conversation Dylan and I were just having during the break. I don't know if you've noticed this, and I brought this up to him. I also just am not a big fan of Fox's presentation of college football or the NFL for that matter. I don't know what it is about the quality of the way that the games stream through your television. At times, I just feel like it looks like grainy. And no, it's not my TV. I've watched it on several different TVs over the years. You know, comparatively to what ESPN and ABC and then also CBS trots out there, I feel like the clarity and the presentation, everything just looks better on ESPN, ABC, as well as CBS. So that might also have something to do with why. I mean, it has to be a big game, like something that involves a couple of top 20, top 15 teams for me to even want to watch a college game on the Fox family of networks anyways. Especially when you start seeing like your noon kick on FS1 or something and it feels like Kansas is on there every week. I like Les Miles, though, so maybe I'll be more willing to watch the Kansas Jayhawks now. And then Jalen Hurts is with Oklahoma, so they are going to be appointment television for me. So maybe that will draw me in to the noon kickoff this year. Jalen Hurts is going to be the reason why. I don't know if anybody else out there has noticed that. I just feel like the presentation, especially as Fox has expanded in the last, you know, 5-6 years since, Lord, I don't even know how long FS1's been around now. It used to be Speed TV, and then they went to FS1. I guess, was that at the beginning of this decade? I'm not sure. I'll have to look that up. But kind of at the same time that, Fox Sports 1 came around, that included the expansion of their college football coverage. And they began to carry more and more marquee and pay for more premium TV package deals for these college games, paying out a lot to the Big 12 and the Big 10 for those rights. But I don't know if y'all ever noticed that, but I think the presentation of the games themselves lack in comparison to what ESPN, ABC, and CBS put out there. 648-1051 is the phone number. If you'd like to chime in on anything we've discussed on the show today, you can interact as well over Twitter at LocalZone1051. As promised, let's take a look at some of the high school soccer action going on coming up yesterday and as well here in the next 48 hours. Looking at it from the Georgia side of things, three games down in North Georgia today. You've got Cahola Creek in AAA at home in the state semifinals. Final Four taking on Benedictine. That is a private school in AAA, so they'll be at home. Dalton in 6A, unbeaten on the year. They're at home versus Pope. And then Southeast Whitfield at home versus Oconee County. All three of these games are scheduled to start around 7 p.m. Now, looking at the region soccer tournaments, you've got CCS in action with Loudoun. You've got East Ridge in action with Sequoia, Walker Valley and Cookeville, Ray County and Cleveland. So, a handful of teams left in this, and looking at from the Tennessee side of things, most of these games being played tonight. Signal Mountain playing Fayetteville. They're at home. That's in the single A bracket, rather, for the region soccer tournaments. Sail Creek fell yesterday to Oneida 2-1, so that eliminates Sail Creek for the year at the region tournament level. Looking up in double A now, games coming up later today. East Ridge, as I mentioned, they're the Division 8 AA runner-up. They're playing on the road at Sequoia. And then you've got Howard at home versus East Hamilton. So that one will be coming up tonight. Should be a fun game there with Howard at home taking on East Ham. Good local action there. Now, if East Ridge is able to win, it would set up an all-local matchup on Thursday, March 16th, with either Sequoia or East Ridge being the home seed for that one, with the team at the top, on the top half of the bracket, already being designated as the home team in the rounds following the first round here. And then finally, up in the public school level, AAA, you've got Cleveland at home versus Ray County, Walker Valley on the road at Cookeville. Either one of those teams, if they're able to win, would match up again in a local matchup in the region final in the next round. Let's take a look up at some Division II stuff with the private schools. Already mentioned CCS. They're playing St. George coming up tonight on the road at St. George. All the other local schools, Boyd Buchanan is also in this. They're not in action yet, though. Just missed them. If you'll remember, over the weekend, they actually won their tournament over the weekend on the road up at Knox Webb. They have a bye. They are the number one overall seed in this tournament. Pretty good soccer club for sure over there for the Boyd Buchanan Buccaneers. So they have the top seed, so they have a bye. So they won't be in action tonight. And then looking up at the D2 AA level for some soccer, we've got McCauley with a bye as they're one of the top seeds in the tournament. Baylor also on a bye as they are also one of the top seeds. Baylor scheduled to play NBA coming up this Saturday at 1 p.m. in the second round of that tournament. McCauley scheduled to play Memphis University School coming up Thursday night at 6 p.m. That is March 16th. So that's what's going on with the local soccer side of things for McCauley and Baylor. Those are two of the best soccer teams up here in the Tennessee area, as well as Boyd. So really a lot of talent at the private school level, but really interested to see how well these public schools can perhaps make deep runs. I think a lot of people coming into the year, if you'll think back to a couple of conversations we've had on here with Patrick McCoon from the Times Free Press, he specifically called Baylor, McCauley, and Boyd by name, saying that, yeah, like they're already expected to go deep. But going to be more so interesting to see some of these public schools and how well they do here as we start to get deeper into the postseason. We're going to take our final break of the show here. We'll have about 10 minutes left when we come back to wrap it up. 648-1051 is the phone number if you I'd like to chime in on anything related to our conversations throughout the first 45 minutes of the show, or anything on your sporting mind. You can do so there and in our inbox on Twitter at LocalZone1051. Stay tuned. We're going to wrap it up coming up next here on ESPN 105.1 The Zone. All right, welcome back into the Local Zone here. Coming up on about 8 minutes to the top of the hour, 2:52 in Chattanooga, Tennessee. Hope you're having a great Tuesday afternoon, and thanks for hanging with us as you do each weekday here from 2 to 3 p.m. A reminder, if you forgot about the mother in your life, one of the mothers in your life on Mother's Day, one of the important women, maybe you consider to be a mother, maybe not your birth mother, then you're probably in the doghouse. Don't worry about it, though. We've got you covered here at ESPN 105.1 The Zone. If you'll go to our website, ESPNChattanooga.com, scroll down to the bottom of the homepage, fill out the registration form, and you could win a $50 gift card to Alea and Body Balance Massage and Wellness Center. This gift certificate is redeemable for a one-hour massage and foot scrub. So whether it be the wife, the mother of your children, your own mother, or perhaps a woman that was a motherly figure in your life, and you forgot to take care of her over the weekend on Mother's Day, get out of the doghouse, guys. The winner will be announced live on air coming up this Friday after the 5 p.m. Sports Center update right here on ESPN 105 on The Zone on Press Row. So, always love reading through some of the off-season articles that come out related to college football. Or the NFL, just anything with the football offseason in general, because you kind of get to have some fun with them, maybe take a look back at some stuff that's happened over the years, and really just get to kind of have fun with some of the stuff that you pick and choose to write about, and that's the case with the one that I found here. This one is from Connor O'Gara on Saturday Down South, came out this morning. And it's kind of looking at the SEC coaching turnover over the years from the head coaching standpoint. And I did not realize this, but thinking back now, it has been quite some time since something like this has happened. And what I'm referencing is it's been 13 years since the SEC has not had any coaching turnover with their head coaching roster. Now, we do know stranger things can happen. We saw Hugh Freeze a couple years ago get fired after SEC Media Days. But we don't have too many. We don't have any scandals really out there right now on the SEC news front. So, not really suspecting anything like that to happen. But think about that: 13 years since the SEC has gone without any coaching turnover. That takes us all the way back to the offseason between the 2005 and 2006 season. That included the year following Les Miles' first year at LSU. And then you think That also included Mike Shula still being at the University of Alabama, wound up going into his final year there. Mark Richt coming off his second SEC championship in 4 years. Missouri and Texas A&M weren't in the conference yet. Still had Bobby Johnson at Vanderbilt. Urban Meyer coming off of his first season at Florida. Still early in the Steve Spurrier era at South Carolina. Ed Orgeron was entering what I believe was his final year at Ole Miss. Rich Brooks at Kentucky still. You had Houston Nutt still at Arkansas. Tommy Tuberville still at Auburn. Philip Fulmer still at Tennessee. So you had all these people who know that were still there from the year before. It's been that long. Think about the names I'm throwing out here right now. Sylvester Croom at Mississippi State. It's the last name I couldn't think of off the top of my head here. That's where the SEC was the last time we didn't have any coaching turnover. That's amazing. And the fact that it's been 13 years, I guess it's pretty hard, though, when you think about the amount of teams. When you got 14 teams in a conference, it's pretty hard to for all 14 schools to maintain their head coaches year to year. But the number of head coaching changes since then, just thinking about some of the stability of these programs, Alabama's had one, Mike Shula to Nick Saban. Auburn's gone through two head coaching changes, Gene Chizik, Tommy Tuberville to Gene Chizik, then Gus Malzahn. Florida has gone through three. Guess which program's gone through the most, though? That would be the University of Tennessee. Fulmer, then to Lane Kiffin, to Derek Dooley, and then finally, the last two here, Butch Jones and now Jeremy Pruitt. Kind of a glimpse into some of kind of where the stability has been for Tennessee the last few years. Vanderbilt's had three head coaching changes. Ole Miss has had three, and Florida has had three. That's you think about how successful Florida's been or what you associate with Florida. It's kind of crazy to think that they've had that many here in the last few years as well. All right, been saving this for the end of the show. It is intern Dylan's birthday today. All right, pull up a mic. This is a terrible version too. I just played this off a whim. All right.
This is pretty horrible.
I'm sorry. I'll pot it down. 20 years old today?
Yes, I am.
20 years old today, intern Dylan is. He's been working with us here on an internship basis since January and been helping me out with my show since its start back in January or back in April. Dylan's been doing good work with us. I appreciate his work. And I remembered his birthday. I told him we were going to talk about it on air because mine's tomorrow. Welcome to your 20s. Hopefully. It won't go by as quickly as mine has been going. But happy birthday, man.
Thank you. Thank you.
Happy early birthday to you.
Oh, sorry, I cut his mic off. Happy early birthday to me, he said. Got to wrap up the show here. Thanks for tuning in. Happy birthday to Dylan. Happy 20th birthday. And thank you for tuning in here to ESPN 105.1 The Zone. David and Jay coming up next here on Press Row. We will be back tomorrow to take a look at some of the action from the region tournaments that we talked about today, some soccer action, breaking all that down, and everything going on in the high school sports front. Stay tuned. Press Row coming up next.